Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
This is Todd Marone, reporting for Used Wigs Radio, and I find myself on the tour bus in the parking lot of the Keswick Theater, tour bus of the Tom Tom Club. Tina Weymouth?
Weymouth.
Yeah, I struggled with that. And Chris Frantz.
Plymouth.
Plymouth. That's what, you know, it's funny. I had that very conversation with my mother-in-law. Do you think it's like Plymouth or it's like Mouth? But anyway, certainly founding members of the Talking Heads and very well known as the Tom Tom Club. And husband and wife team, and you are actually the second husband and wife team that I interviewed within the last 7 or 8 days. Last week, I interviewed the Mates of State, and they refer to themselves as lifers, and they've been at it for 8 or 9 years. Now you guys are working on. Well, that was their assumption that they were going to be lifers, you know. But here,
well,
you guys have.
So for their sake, I hope so.
Yeah. Well, and so you're looking at 30 plus years in the business.
Since we started in 1975, so count.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And but we've been friends, and we've been playing music and doing art all our lives. So that's, I won't even tell you.
Now, you guys met at RISD. You both attended RISD.
That's correct. We studied painting there, and after we graduated from RISD, we moved to New York and started a band called Talking Heads, and that we did our first show in 1975, first album in 1977. Our first Tom Tom Club album was in 1981. So it has been 30 years of Tom Tom Club, and still kicking.
Yeah, and tell me about the moment, which is now perhaps many years ago, that you realized that being a musician was going to be a profession. You know, that wasn't a hobby, or that it wasn't something that has, because, and there's a long list of people who I think are kind of art school musicians, you know, like the TV on the Radio and John Lennon, and like just so many people that Animal Collective, just people making really interesting music, kind of take that path. So when was it that you realized, hey, you know what, this is perhaps our track?
To tell the truth, I think it crept up on us. I thought I'd be a painter by now, but it didn't happen, because Chris said, oh, you can only do music when you're young. You can always be a painter starting it. You're a young painter when you're 40. So, but we're still doing this, and there was no really firm moment. I know that when we were still in college, a friend of ours, a mutual friend, said, oh, you got to go see this psychic. She's really great. And she said, and I went to see the psychic, and the psychic said, oh, you're so psychic, you're telling me all these things. I said, I'm not psychic. I said, my great-grandmother was psychic, my mother is psychic, but I don't try to go that way. She said, oh, but you're like a medium, so you haven't developed it. And I said, and I don't want to. And she said, but I'm getting messages, and I see a guitar on the wall. And I said, well, I play guitar, but I'm not going to be a musician. I'm going to be a painter. She said, well, it could be, you know, I was trying to hedge around it. But she said, you're going to marry your teacher. And I thought of all my teachers, and I thought, well, I don't know about that. But it turned out, here was my teacher right here. He was teaching me about rock and roll, and we were watching Soul Train on a little black and white TV while he cooked up delicious omelets of pears and cream cheese and peaches and... Yeah, they were really good, and he had such a great record collection, and my record collection I'd left at home with my multiple siblings who wouldn't let me take them to college. So all my Beach Boys and Beatles and Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stone, everything was at home, even my Burl Ives was at home, and so. But he had a great collection and started introducing me to so many different bands that I really hadn't been aware of before. I'd heard them on the radio, but I'd... So he was the man to know around town. And then he started this band called the Artistics, and I had a Plymouth Valiant, and I drove the band around. And eventually he was, you know, trying to talk me in. For a couple of years, he was trying to talk me into joining the band. And I kept saying, but you hate the flute. But eventually, I thought it was in my... I lived in a over a garage, what was a carriage house. And that's where we could... Chris had his drums set up because it was right next to the Brown University tennis courts, and they didn't mind drumming because of the tennis balls. So nobody noticed the difference. Plus, he was such a good drummer, everybody said, leave the windows open. It sounds great. And now
you guys have become the staple of so many great record collections.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, it's starting.
Good point.
It's starting to get there.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Yeah.
And speaking of, you know... My first, and not to make this interview about me, nor to date you guys, but my first experience with you as the Tom Tom Club was, probably late in the late 80s, staying up, seemed like the middle of the night, 120 minutes on MTV, where they used to play the good music, you know, and seeing the video of Genius of Love and the aesthetic of it. You know, which I assume you had plenty to do with. So, I mean, it just had such a strong visual flavor. It was unlike anything I had heard or seen before. And it almost seemed alternative amongst alternative music, you know? And it turned into this anthem, this alt-rock anthem that continues to be such a presence and a force and sampled so many times over the years.
Thank you, yes. Well, I think we were ahead of our time again, you know? We'd been ahead of our time with Talking Heads, and then we wanted to do 180 degrees. About face and go, you know, reverse from nihilism and get into something really positive.
The artist who did the first couple of Tom Tom Club album covers and also did that video, the drawings for that video, is a guy named Jimmy Rizzi from Brooklyn, New York. And we met him through mutual friends. He had a little studio on Sullivan Street in the Soho, West Village / Soho. And we became friends, and we invited him down. When we were doing the first Tom Tom Club album, we invited him down to the Bahamas where we were recording so that he could, like, soak up the scene and do this album cover.
Which is the name of... That was the name of the club that you first practiced in, or was...
No, Tom Tom Club was the name of... Well, everything there, instead of having a number and a street name, you give your home a name.
Oh, okay.
Like Press On,
Compass Point was the name of the studio.
Tip Top, or...
And it was owned by Chris Blackwell of Island Records fame. Anyway, he came down, and then Tina's sister, Tina has many sisters, but Laura, who also sang on the record with one of her other sisters, Lonnie. Laura was dating this guy, Chaz Jankel, who was Ian Dury's musical partner. And Chaz had a sister.
Annabelle
Jankel, and a husband, Rocky Morton. And together they had a animation team called, or they made up an animation team called Cucumber Studios. And so they actually did that video. At our request, Jimmy Rizzi flew over from Brooklyn, from Soho to London, where they were located. And it took, I think, a good 2 weeks of steady drawing, thousands of drawings.
Thousands of drawings, and then all the animation team, and Laura Weymouth was one of the animators, they all worked together to do all the in-between drawings. And it was all shot, you know, one cell at a time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It is an old animation.
Mm-hmm. So you have key point animators, then you have, like, fill-ins.
I will say that it was the first animation used, but it was one of... We always loved, you know, the old cartoons, bands, and the music that they used, all the great big jazz bands, and those people, the Looney Tunes, they were absolutely amazing, remarkable musicians to us, and we loved those. And so we thought, well, you know, you like Kraftwerk, they wanted their album and artwork to look like their music sounded. So we thought, well, James Rizzi is perfect, and
And it still resonates today. Yeah, I mean, even on your website,
so
and
you know,
still
we were
a similar aesthetic.
Talking Heads, we weren't going to be able to get off and, you know, tour with Talking Heads to go work on a video for Tom Tom Club. So it was a perfect solution. And as you've seen, it has worked beautifully for the Gorillaz since then and for numerous others.
For sure. And you mentioned the Talking Heads. Tell me a little bit about you. You are the backbone, perhaps, I mean, of the Talking Heads, but not the face of the Talking Heads.
That's right.
And tell me about that. Excellent. Is that a comfortable feeling?
David Byrne was the face and the ass of the Talking Heads.
But I just, you know, I assume that might be...
Not to mention the black hole into which it all disappeared.
So, are you not on good terms with David?
Well, actually, it's not bad terms.
Fine.
We're not on bad terms. But we're not on good terms. It's just our idea of good leadership of a band, if he had actually been the leader of the band, would be to keep the band together. It would have made sense, but that's not what he's about.
Well, the reason I brought it up and presented it that way is I think that it must be very liberating to have that much of an impact on the music world as you did and as you have. But still, not being the face, be able to have a lifestyle where you're not bombarded in public.
You mean like Steely Dan?
Well,
or something?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Well,
we consider ourselves very fortunate. Whatever we are, we've been
totally blessed.
Blessed and charmed. Had a charmed life, and we're very lucky and grateful that we've had the. Whatever degree of success we've had, and also that we've managed to, with one exception, that being David, we've managed to stay in together with this band and for 30 years, which is really quite something when you think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, we would still be together. I mean, David has his own thing happening, but that's always going to be David.
Yeah.
Being who he is.
Well, tell me about now this kind of double headlining with this tour.
This has been a great
psychedelic first.
Yeah, it's like a no-brainer ticket because you get two headliners for the price of one. You get to go back to the 80s, which was where it was all happening, where it was all innovating. And I mean, it still sounds good today because everybody's trying to sound like us.
Yeah, for sure.
And so
especially recently.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. And it's a really good vibe. People are dancing. People are, you know, crying tears of joy. It's really a good vibe.
It must be.
And the Furs are great. They're so romantic. And Richard Butler is a really... He's a phenomenal artist, a great painter, too. Really conceptually has brilliant ideas. I don't know if you've seen his work, but you should Google it. It's very an interesting commentary on Americans' fetishistic obsession with children.
Ah.
And Mickey Mouse.
Oh, we certainly will. But again, for bands like both of you guys, too, doing what you've done for so long, you're literally the soundtrack for so many people's lives, and it must be really great to be able to tour and to kind of see that response where when people hear a certain song start up and they're like, oh my gosh, it takes them back to something that has such a strong impact or was the background music of life events, of high school, of college, or whatever it might be.
Well, it is wonderful and gratifying when people actually tell us that, and we get to meet them because we do signings after our show between the sets. And we get to actually meet our fans, and we're so delighted, you know, that they're all, like, really sensitive, intelligent, cool, beautiful people. So that is intensely gratifying. And we haven't really done that so much in the past. We often used to have a lot of security, and now I think we've developed a level of confidence in our ability to cope with people. And that if we meet a stalker, we instantly become boring and not the person you want. They want to meet. You know? So we actually meet really cool people.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm gonna let you go and get ready for your show. I know you have a sound check coming up. We're thrilled and excited about taking it in tonight too. So thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
It's a pleasure.